Economics, behind the numbers. Surviving amid an interest rate uptrend. Early into the new year, much attention in the news has been focused on commentaries and projections for the Thai economy. From policymakers to private economic research houses, viewpoints seem to contain some elements of mutual agreement. The main theme can be succinctly summarized. Plainly put, this will be a year of solid growth with rising costs as a major challenge. Cost escalation should come at no surprise given this year's ballooning commodity prices, nationwide wage increases for laborers and civil servants, and rising inflationary pressure driven by both global and domestic demand. According to the Bank of Thailand's most recent projection, headline inflation could spike up as high as 4.5%, while core inflation, a price measure that excludes energy and raw food prices, could potentially nudge up past 3%, breaking the official inflation targeting band. With higher inflation come higher interest rates. It is almost a sure bet that the central bank will raise the policy rate substantially further. We believe that the rate, currently at 2.25%, will move up close to 3.25% by year end. This will eventually translate into higher borrowing costs for companies and entrepreneurs. Increases in interest expenses represent an important economy-wide issue. Unlike other cost factors, such as rising material and commodity prices, this will identically affect any business that requires external financing. Small and medium-sized enterprises, or SMEs, have a lot to worry about. Managing a company's costs, particularly on interest expenses, has always been the challenge, if not the nemesis, for Thai small and medium-sized entrepreneurs. Access to finance is more limited than for large enterprises. But even for those with access to finance, the inadequacy of funds and higher cost of finance make the outlook for cost management in SMEs gloomy. Still, in the past decade, the size of SMEs in the economy continues to grow as people left salary-based employment to pursue more owner-operator roles. As of 2010, the number of SMEs reached 2.9 million, representing 99% of all companies in Thailand. They also contributed 38% to gross domestic product, which compared to 45% by large enterprises. When the subprime crisis hit the Thai economy at the end of 2008, it hit SMEs harder than operators in other sectors. Companies saw revenue fall sharply, and banks began to tighten lending requirements as a prudent measure. Only very large companies have access to capital markets, an alternative to bank lending, so few options were left for the majority of enterprises to roll over costs. This micro-level credit crunch, which lasted well into the early part of 2010, pushed some companies past their limits, and they started closing their doors to customers. Not all stories were tragic nonetheless. This prompts us to dig deeper and ask what the fundamental differences were between the survivors and the deceased from 2007 to 2009. After scanning more than 8,000 SME survivors, we found that the debt-to-equity ratios, or D/E, were much lower for surviving companies than for those that got into trouble. On average for SMEs, the debt-equity ratio is around 1.1. However, the diversity of SMEs has generated ratios from 3.6 as we found in the animal feed sector, down to 0.7 in the beverage industry. The lesson here is just like what the U.S. is learning. Leverage is a risky thing. In addition to the debt-equity ratio that reveals the leverage of companies, another key indicator that comes up on the list is the share of interest expense in the gross profit margin. Not only does this indicate the ability to pay interest by the company, it also shows the size of profit left for the company to weather unexpected storms, such as the subprime crisis that just hit us right on the forehead. The current average among SMEs is 10%, but again, the numbers vary from 21% in the rice industry to 7% in beverages. What about corporate enterprises, which contribute 45% to the GDP? We find this pattern strikingly persists after examining another 3,800 large companies. For instance, the debt-equity ratio is much higher in the companies making losses over 2007 to 2009 than in the profitable ones. How big is the difference? About 3 to 4 times, to be exact. Of all samples, profitable companies have the debt-equity ratio of only around 0.73, while unprofitable ones sit on a debt-equity ratio of 2.7. So again, we find that companies that got into trouble tend to have high leverage, and companies that have high leverage tend to get into trouble. Our other indicator is not that much different either. Struggling corporate companies in the furniture and household products industry face interest expenses on average of almost 70% of their gross profits, while profitable ones only shed 15% for interest payments. We find this similarity across other industries as well, such as metal and mining, where the two shares are 50% and 16% respectively, or in crops, where the shares are 70% and 11.5% respectively. We also see interest payments taking more of a bite of gross profits in agricultural sectors such as rice, rubber, animal feed, and farming than in manufacturing sectors. In other words, some companies and some industries are so swamped with interest payments that they become highly vulnerable to other risks that may catch them blindsided. The subprime crisis reminded us of a very old lesson in doing business. Leverage is a double-edged sword. In good times, it can bring additional growth, making return on equity alluring. But in bad times, leverage cuts the throats of companies and squeezes entrepreneurs in a credit vise. This year will undoubtedly be a year of rising interest rates. From what it seems, balancing between appropriate debt and equity to manage interest payments might just be the secret recipe to raft through another year of white water.